Today, we're looking at what happens to people when they're accused of a crime they didn't commit, and how our institutions are set up to deal with the wrongfully accused. Our first story takes us to the police station, and right into the middle of a police lineup. Shows like CSI have taught us that a lot can be gleaned from clues left at the crime scene, and painstakingly pieced together by investigators.
See, once it dried, the pattern revealed itself. You see this discoloration right here?
Looks like the tread from a boot.
What I initially thought was a V is actually a W.
And that's the logo for Woodridge Hunting Boots.
Yes, it is.
What they don't often show is how fallible evidence can actually be if it's not properly obtained. More and more prosecutors and police are coming to question the ways in which they've typically done business. KLW's Charlie Mintz delved into a nationwide effort to reform police lineups.
A murder happens, like this one reported on by the Modesto News. Police arrive at the scene, but the shooters are long gone. How they figure out who done it often comes down to one thing: a witness.
We are asking if there are any witnesses that are out there that may have been driving by, may have saw anything suspicious related to this business. Please call the Modesto Police Department.
What did the car look like?
Yeah, it was a little dark-colored compact car, four-door.
Multiple shots, maybe one and then a series of other shots. Did you hear anything like that?
No, I didn't hear anything like that, but one of my kids said that they heard something like that.
The driver is said to be Hispanic, in his 20s, bald and wearing a multicolored hooded sweatshirt. The accomplice is white and was last seen wearing a black bandana and blue jeans. If you have any information, you're asked to call the Manchester Police Department.
It's intuitive. If you want to know what happened, who committed a crime, ask someone who witnessed it.
Well, a lot of people think that eyewitness identification is the most accurate. The reality is very different.
That's Jeff Adachi,
the San Francisco public defender.
And he's handled thousands of criminal cases.
And I have to say that probably one of the most common sources of error that I've seen is misidentification.
Research backs that up. A 2004 analysis by San Francisco Magazine looked at 200 wrongfully convicted people. Of those 200, more than half, 60%, were the victims of misidentification.
Why is that? Because we're human beings, and human beings and the human eye is fallible.
What science is learning about memory helps explain why the eye can lie. The old way to think about memory treated it like a picture stored in your brain. We now know that isn't true. Memories are actively created. Remembering an event is more like painting a picture than looking at a photograph.
That's what makes it scary, because often a witness will be 100% sure. It's just that their perception is incorrect.
A crime scene could be dark, a witness's adrenaline high, and a witness may only get a fleeting glimpse of the suspect. All these factors, experts call them estimator variables, will make it harder to recall what the perpetrator looked like. But perception is only half the story.
When you talk about how a person is identified, often there are suggestive procedures that are institutionalized.
These suggestive procedures play out in the interactions between officers and eyewitnesses. They can be subtle or not so subtle.
I've seen cases where the officer who is administering the lineup has a clear bias, and that comes off clearly. I mean, we've seen TV shows where, you know, the officer coughs or, you know, does something to indicate who the suspect is. And yes, that does happen sometime in real life.
Obviously, you don't want police officers telling witnesses who to pick. But the much deeper problem is when officers unconsciously indicate who the witness should choose. This can happen in all sorts of ways, from the way an officer asks a question to the officer's body language. These behaviors are the system variables, and they are the target of a nationwide effort to reform police lineups.
There are a small number of errors that happen in criminal cases.
Jeff Rosen is the district attorney for Santa Clara County.
And the question for me as the DA is, well, how should I think about those errors? Is it like being struck by lightning, or is it like an airplane crash?
Getting struck by lightning, Rosen says, is just an accident. A plane crash is probably preventable. Likewise, a misidentification is largely preventable if the system does its job right. In the lineup, the police can control for these errors. In 1999, the Department of Justice released recommendations for police lineups to improve them. There were two main suggestions. The first was that the officer conducting the lineup not know who the suspect is. This is called double-blind administration, and it's how a lot of scientific research is done. What it does is prevent the officer from subtly guiding the witness to choose the person the officer knows is the suspect. The second recommendation is sequential lineups. This means that the witness is shown potential suspects one at a time instead of all at once. This forces the witness to be sure of his or her choice and not just choose the closest match.
This was not that difficult to get our police chiefs in the county to agree to.
Santa Clara County adopted the new procedures in 2002. Sequential lineups and double-blind administration became standard throughout the county. Recently, the county has also added video recording of witnesses to improve reliability.
So essentially what we've done is we have slightly fewer positive identifications, but they're much stronger.
Despite this success, California cities have been slow to adopt the new protocol. San Francisco did so last year. Across the Bay, Alameda County still hasn't done so. A recent study found only 8% of police departments in the state are in compliance with Department of Justice recommendations, though the number is growing.
There's always some resistance to change, particularly when something has been done the same way for a long period of time. And the within the district attorney's office, you know, there were certainly prosecutors that just, do we really need to make this change? What does it matter?
In Sacramento, lawmakers have tried several times to pass bills mandating improved lineup protocol. Each time, the bills have failed. Police departments say the procedure is more expensive. Reformers disagree. The real issue, they say, is inertia. The way things have been is the way they tend to stay. Those pushing for reform say that change will come when police departments and district attorneys get on board. Though the process is slow, signs are that may be happening. Until then, we might do well to be a bit more skeptical of what we think we've seen. For Cross Currents, I'm Charlie Mintz.